He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth.
Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of day and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Lost, but
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us pray. God, we join you in the sorrow of the disciples. We are familiar with confusion. We recognize anew the sacrifice given in breaking bread and drinking from the cup. God, we ask that you would teach us to mourn. Don't let us rush to Easter Sunday too quickly. Give us grace to linger here in the place where sorrow meets redemption. Make your death as real to us as your resurrection. Hear our prayers. Know our hearts in this moment of reflection.
Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." And Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
Let us pray. Forgiving God, we are grateful that you are compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Forgiving God, we are grateful that you do not treat us as our sins deserve. Forgiving God, we humbly receive your promise that as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us. Hear our prayers. Know our hearts in this silent reflection. As far as the east is from the west. Amen. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour? He asked Peter. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away a second time and prayed, My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, Are you still resting and sleeping? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. We're going to join reading a corporate prayer from the PowerPoint.
Today is Friday. Many of you call it Good Friday. I guess perspective can do that. Because for me, that day, that Friday, was not good. Shalom, my friends. I am Peter, Simon Peter. And I come dressed as you would in 2017. But let me take you back to that day that I first met Jesus. And let this priestly scarf represent that time. You see, it was 3 years ago that I first met Jesus. My brother Andrew and I, we were fishermen and we made a good living. One night, after a whole night of fishing, where we actually caught nothing, this man, this teacher, Jesus, arrived on the beach where we were cleaning our nets and fixing our nets, and he began to teach the crowds that followed. And we listened as we cleaned, and the crowd grew and grew, and he turned to me and said, Peter, would you take me out in your boat a little ways? I think he just needed a little more space. I said, yes, and got in our boat and we went offshore and he continued to preach. And over the next hour, hour and a half, I listened. But as he finished, he turned to me and he said, Let's go fishing. And I mean, that's just crazy. First of all, it's the wrong time of day. Plus, I was dead tired. I had been up all night. No fish. The last thing I wanted to do was to go fishing. The thought of going fishing literally made me sick. But he looked at me with those eyes that just seemed to say, Go fishing. And we went fishing. Barely had we put the nets in the water when suddenly those nets were so full of fish. I'd never seen so many fish. I called for my friends, John, James, come bring the boat, bring the boat. They came and brought the boat. And literally, we thought we were going to swamp the whole lot. How could this be? How could this happen? And then last night, nothing. There was something about this man, the way he taught, and then these fish, and I don't know what came over me, but at that moment, I literally on my knees in the boat, and I just fell before him, and I said, Oh, Lord, go away from me. I am a sinful man. And I remember his hand on my shoulder. as he just gently spoke these words, now you will be fishers of men. That made absolutely no sense. It made no sense to me. I did not understand, but I knew there was something within me that knew a decision had to be made. And at that point, my life changed. We left our boats. For 3 years now, we have followed him. 12 of us. Others came and went. But it was 12 of us who seemed to hang in there with him. And they were amazing times, amazing times. Oh, I remember the day that he healed my mother-in-law. Praise Jehovah, what a day. But people, others as well, were coming to him. Those who were crippled, children who were lame, the sick, the blind, he healed them. He cast out demons, and there was a sense of freedom and amazement and wonder. I know that there were times, though, that he was frustrated with us. Times that we did not understand what he was trying to teach us in the stories that he shared. But I will never forget that day. That day when he was explaining to us that he would go to Jerusalem and the religious leaders would arrest him, he would suffer and he would die, he would be mocked and he would be killed. And I said, no way, there is no way that this can happen to my master, my teacher. And I said, I pulled him aside and said, not so, this cannot be. But with his eyes flashing and in a voice that I have never heard from him before, he said, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. Oh, but the real challenge came that Thursday night in the garden. We had just celebrated the Passover meal together, and he had washed our feet. My master, my teacher, my Lord, had washed my feet. And not only that, he told us that one of us would betray him. No way. No way. I would never leave him. I would never disown my Lord. We would follow him to the ends of the earth, and I told him so. I would lay down my life, Jesus, for you. But it was at that moment that Jesus turned to me and softly said, will you? Because I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Why would he say that? Why would he say those words to me? But you probably heard what happened. We went with him to the garden to pray. Oh, I was so tired. I could not stay awake. And I slept. He prayed. But suddenly I did wake up. And there was confusion. There were soldiers. There was confusion. There was people coming. And there was Judas. Judas, who was coming with the pack. My mind went crazy. And in the confusion, I grabbed my sword. I began to swing it. I lopped off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And then I heard Jesus yell, stop, Peter. And I stopped and I put my sword away. But then they hid him. They took him. And suddenly, it seemed like just a fraction of a moment, he was gone and the soldiers and the lights were leaving. And what could I do? What could I do? I had to follow, but I didn't. So I followed at a distance, hiding in the shadows, moving quietly along the streets, keeping up and yet not being too close. At the courtyard of the high priest where they were taking Jesus, the servant girl at the gate asked me if I was a disciple, and I said, no. I mean, no. I mean, what could I say? if I said yes, would they let, maybe they wouldn't let me in, and I had to be there, I had to see Jesus, I had to be with him, and I said no. And I slipped over to the fire, closer to the fire so that I could warm my hands, but also so that I could still hear the high priest's questions. And suddenly again another servant girl said, "Are you not one of them?" And I responded, "Me? No." And immediately, it seemed immediately right across the fire from me, another servant blurted out, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" And I almost shouted back at him, but through clenched teeth, I just hissed, "I don't know the man." And barely were the words out of my mouth when the rooster began to crow. Oh my God, what have I done? And I remembered Jesus' words, and as I looked at him, immediately at that moment, he turned and he looked at me in those eyes of sorrow. And I ran. I ran and I wept and I wept and I sobbed and I ran. Guilt and fear and ugliness pouring out of the depth of my soul. The loneliness that I felt I had never experienced before. And these past days have been hell. He, my master, my teacher, Jesus was beaten, he was mocked, he was hung on the cross, he died, his death was cruel, it was brutal, and yes, I saw him on the cross. I saw him die, but from a distance. As he hung on that cross, I could not come near. My friend, my master, my teacher, I had denied him 3 times. How could I ever again look him in the eye? 3 years and all of my promises. I denied him and I ran. Sunday morning. Again, I ran. But this time to the tomb. The tomb that the women had told us was empty. Was he alive as he promised? Resurrected as he'd explained to us? But if he was, how could I ever face him? Why would he ever want anything to do with me again? I had lied. I disowned him. He heard my words. Was my whole life a fraud, a fake, just like those promises that I had made to him? Over the next days, the disciples, they and I, we met, we remained in a locked room at times. The fear in that room was so thick it was palpable. And yes, there was times when Jesus miraculously appeared, even though the door was locked, and he appeared among us. And what should have been moments of joy simply magnified the guilt in my heart. How could I speak to him? What might I even consider saying? I'd blown it. 3 years worth of love and time spent, and I blew it. He had taught us about forgiveness. Our Father, who art in heaven, forgive us our sins, my sin, as I forgive those who sin against me. How many times, Jesus? Oh, yes, right, 70 times 7. I knew the words, but I didn't know forgiveness. Last night I got so frustrated I couldn't sleep. I went fishing. In fact, a whole bunch of us, a whole group of us went fishing out on the Sea of Galilee, out in a boat in an area, a place of comfort, a place of normal. Bah, but wouldn't you know it? Fishing, nothing. Nothing. And the frustration level grew again. And it was beginning to get light outside when suddenly I saw a man on shore and he called us to a, "Friends, have you any fish?" I was ready to tell him to, and I just said, "No, no. Throw your nets on the other side," came the response. My first thought, that's just really dumb. But we did it anyway. And in an instant, my nets, our nets were so full of fish, and I looked at John, and John looked at me, and we knew it was Jesus. And I didn't even think. I just, over the side of the boat, I jumped, I swam, I ran through the waves, through the surf, to that shore. I so desperately wanted to simply fall in the sand in front of his feet and beg him for forgiveness. The others were close behind in the boat. But I simply needed to be relieved of a weight, the weight of guilt that yoked my soul. But he had a fire going, some bread baking in the fire, and he said to me, "Peter, bring some fish, let's have breakfast." All through that meal, my heart was pounding so hard. My mouth was so dry, it took every effort to swallow anything. I had to say something, but what do you say? But it was Jesus then who turned to me and he said, "Peter, do you truly love me?" "Yes! Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, I do love you." And again, there was so much more I wanted to say, and he simply responded, "Then feed my sheep." Again he asked, "Do you love me, Peter?" And again I responded, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep," were his words. When he asked a third time, I almost became angry with him. I almost retorted. But again, I just said, "Lord, Lord, you know that I love you." And as those words were spoken from my lips, his love, his forgiveness, his grace and compassion washed over me like a tidal wave of joy. A cleansing, a cleaning, a forgiveness that I had never, ever experienced before. The despair, the guilt of those last days was gone. I was forgiven. Forgiven. And that morning, with my feet in the sand and my eyes on his face, a new season began. A new day, a season of hope, because I am forgiven. I am clean. I am free. I am forgiven. And today, my friend, because of the cross, you too and I can experience the forgiveness of a holy God. It is still available because of the cross. The blood that Christ spilt, the blood that Christ so freely gave on the cross, took my sin, covered your sin. We can be forgiven. We can walk in forgiveness, in holiness before him. Praise God, I am forgiven.
stand together. At the cross. said, all are welcome. All are welcome.
I will feast at the table.
Just going to invite you to be seated. Take a look around your table. The face of family, of friends. You, we together, the body of Christ, as holy, as sinful and human as the disciples who gather around the table of the Lord on that Passover meal. Christ invited him at that point to look ahead, to share in a new way, communion time we call it, a time of fellowship, of gathering of community together around the table. Eucharist, some would call it, a time of blessing, a time of giving thanks. In Christ's word, a time of sharing the bread, sharing the cup, the blood, the body of Christ. For us, our time around the table is a time of looking back, of remembering. Christ called us as his followers. He said, as his children, to do this in remembrance of him. To remember his sacrifice. To remember that he gave his life for you and for me. His blood poured out on the cross, paid my debt, the debt for your sin and for mine. Forgiveness, freedom, bought with a price. And so as his children, we share the bread and the cup together. We proclaim or we announce the Lord's death until he returns again. But we also announce to ourselves and remind ourselves that through our communing, our commitment together, we have expressing a commitment to obedience, a commitment to follow Christ, to take up our cross, and to follow, to walk in obedience to him. So as we've just sung, we come to the table, we are invited to the table. And I invite us to just turn to the screen and to read this prayer and this statement together. This is the table, welcome table of our Redeemer, and you are invited. Make no excuses saying you cannot attend. Simply come. For around this table, you will find your family. Come. Not because you have to, but because you need to. Come not to prove you are saved, but to seek the courage to follow wherever Christ leads. Come not to speak, but to listen. Not to hear what's expected, but to be open to the ways the Spirit moves among you. Come, for this is the feast of the reign of God, where the broken are molded into a beloved community, and where the celebration over evil's defeat has already begun. In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says these words, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" We're going to invite you in just a moment to take the bread that is there on the table. There are also gluten-free crackers for those who would prefer that. Take the bread, take a piece, pass it around the table. Each of you taking a piece, please hold it until all have been served. And then we will take a moment to pray, make a statement together, and then partake together. So we invite you to pass the bread. Just take a moment to pray. Father, as we hold this bread, these crackers, thank you again, Father, for the reminder of Christ, his sacrifice, his willingness to be obedient even unto death. And oh, Jesus, as we partake, we remember your broken body for us, for me, the sin my sin that you took to the cross. And as we partake, we remember, and Father, we give thanks. Bless this bread, we pray. Amen. Let's turn again to the screen as we before we partake. And I just invite you to say this statement together. Father, as your children, you may be partake.
In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You may do the same. Please pass the cup to one another, and we'll hold it. Let us pray. Jesus, on the cross you hung, you died, and you emptied yourself on our behalf. Jesus, you emptied yourself of your ego. You emptied yourself of putting yourself first. You emptied yourself of selfishness. God, you emptied yourself so that we might live. May we too know that we can come and empty ourselves before you. That we may empty ourselves of those things that burden us, that weigh us down, that block us from coming into fullness with you. And as we drink, we remember your emptiness for us. Amen. Let's read together off the screen. Father, as your children, we drink this cup with thanks, remembering Jesus, who covered your blood, poured out for us, for me. Going to invite you into a moment of quiet reflection where you may pray. May you listen to the words of this song, or we'll just be still together in a sacred space. Amen. Still my beating heart.
Let's just pray as we finish. Father, we do stand before you in awe of the one who gave it all. In awe for the love that you poured out on this earth, on all mankind, past, present, and future. And God, in that amazement, Lord, we also say thank you. For your forgiveness, for the blood that was shed, for the freedom that we can walk in today because of Christ's death 2,000 years ago. And we just give you thanks, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We come humbly. We come with thanks. But we go forward with courage in the confidence of the covering of the blood of Jesus. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here. Thank you for worshiping and celebrating together. And we look forward to seeing you back on Sunday morning to celebrate the risen Lord. Go in his peace and his grace. Amen.